Munson Williams Proctor Arts Institute is a fine arts center in Utica, New York, dedicated to serving diverse audiences by advancing the appreciation, understanding, and employment and enjoyment of the arts. My apology, take two. And enjoyment of the arts. The Art Institute aims to promote interest and participation in the arts and stimulate artistic self-expression and personal creativity. They continue to assume a leadership and advocacy role for the arts in Utica. Founded in 1919, the Institute celebrated their 100th anniversary last year, and this year they get to operate during a pandemic. To tell us more, we welcome the Institute President and CEO, Anna D'Ambrosio. Welcome. Thank you very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure to have you on the program.
Oh, thanks, Joe. I'm sorry we can't be face-to-face this morning, but soon enough.
Yes, exactly. It has to happen eventually, right? So tell us the story of the Arts Institute as far as how you have been handling the last several months.
Well, it certainly has been a challenging time. You know, we closed to the public, I think March 15th was our last day, and we reopened in mid-July. We came back to the offices a couple weeks before that, and we worked with a dental hygienist, not a dental, that's kind of funny, now it's my turn, a industrial hygienist.
it's a great day.
Yeah, right. It must be something in the atmosphere. So anyway, she came through and worked really closely with us with our reopening plan. It's kind of like having people would be familiar with like OSHA and OSHA regulations. It's along those lines, but someone who is thinking about the safety of the people who work here as well as the safety of the visitors. So we have reopened with one-way traffic, mandatory mask wearing, hand sanitizer stations located throughout, social distancing, limited number of people in the galleries, and those types of regulations that I think we've all become accustomed to. Attendance, you know, started out slowly, but we've been picking up as the weeks progress, and I think people are happy to be out and to be able to experience the art in person again. So we have been welcoming back our visitors for a little over a month now.
A little over a month. And so what's the, given that you are in a business where you plan way far in advance for things, and you have on paper, God knows how long ago, of what the summer of 2020 was going to look like, the spring, the summer, the fall, and all of that gets shot to hell, how does that then affect what you're going to do over the next few weeks, months, years?
It does have a big domino effect. We had a major exhibition of an artist, a Belgian artist called Isabel de Borgrave, that was to open this summer. So we postponed that till a year, a little over about a year and a half. It will be in October of 21. And that did have a domino effect because we plan our exhibitions out 3 to 4 years. But fortunately for the de Borgrave exhibition, there was some flexibility there. So that was actually worked out quite nicely. We moved around what next summer will look like, and some things opened up to us and became available. So we're going to be doing an exhibition, a retrospective of the artist Emma Amos, who recently passed away actually a few months ago, but a contemporary, a 20th and 21st century African-American artist. One of the nice things, too, was that we had just opened our exhibition celebrating suffrage, women artists from our permanent collection, and it's a really fabulous exhibition. It had only been open about 2 weeks when we had to close, so we were able to reopen with that exhibition and run it through the summer.
Hmm.
So, things have a way of working out, and so we don't have the big paid exhibition with all of the programming this summer because we can't bring people together for programs, but we were able to pivot to lots of digital programs and digital presence, and that has been very successful.
Not to be negative here, but I mean, just probably practical more than anything. I mean, I think all of us who are doing anything know that there is a fragility to it, that you could be locked down again.
Mm-hmm.
So that always has to be in the back of your mind. And mm-hmm. then what do you do then? But as far as just overall planning, is it weird for you to have to take it one day at a time?
You know, yes and no. I think we've been very fortunate, and we did receive some grant funding recently that we are putting into digital programming and community outreach. So, you know, it's disappointing to know that we won't have thousands of kids coming for school tours this fall.
Right.
But with the new learning management system that we, so a digital learning management system that we've acquired, we're working with the school districts so that we can do virtual school tours. And in some respects, having that tool in the toolbox is an asset. I mean, you know, we want the kids to have the authentic experience and to come when the schools can come back. But now having that digital program, we can reach schools much further afield who would never be able to come for a field trip. So, you know, we can reach the kids that are regional, and they'll come when the schools are functioning back into the new normal. But then, you know, we can reach somebody hundreds and hundreds of miles away and offer them an opportunity to have this experience that we couldn't have been able to do before this. So we have to look at the positive,
mm-hmm.
you know, in all of this. And we are planning so that we will be prepared with more digital programming and videotaping ready, so that if we do have to close again, we have a number of programs all set up and kind of ready to launch if need be.
Right. So when it comes to current exhibitions, what can people see currently?
Well, we do have the Celebrating Suffrage exhibition, and it's really great. It's 19th and 20th century fine and decorative arts, and it really explores the evolution of social mores and women through two centuries, through art that's in the permanent collection. We also have an exhibition on view called Memoryscape, which is just works that incorporate light and sculpture, and is really an all-encompassing. You walk into the room and you're just enveloped by these wonderful sculptures by Dan Buckingham, who's one of the faculty members here at Munson Williams at our School of Art. And Astonishing Brilliance is an exhibition that explores the effects of the evolution from natural to artificial light and its effect on art.
Wow. So that's a lot and very cool stuff. What
and
have
that's
you...
not even the permanent collection, right, Joe?
Yeah, so get to the
permanent. Those are just the special exhibitions.
And so do you rotate the permanent collection, or is the permanent collection permanent?
Well, only about 20% of the permanent collection is ever on view at any one time. But there's certain pieces that we are well known for, such as some of the 20th century material, like our fabulous Jackson Pollock and Louise Bourgeois and Mark Rothko, The Voyage of Life, the Hudson River School collection, and The Voyage of Life by Thomas Cole, some European modernism pieces that are always on view, you know, Mondrian and Picasso and Kandinsky. And then some of these smaller exhibitions, like Astonishing Brilliance and the Suffrage exhibition, are all drawn from our permanent collection.
So
you've got kind of permanent installation galleries and then changing exhibition galleries.
Well, it's all fascinating because the it's beautiful stuff, and you get to show off, and that's lovely. What have your numbers been like recently in this past month since you've returned?
It built. I mean, I would say the first few days, you know, like maybe day one, we had very few people, but it has built up and has been pretty busy over the weekends. We also have a new cafe, so people are enjoying having lunch as well as visiting the galleries. So it continues to build, and I think that people are just happy to be able to come back and be someplace familiar and have a real positive experience in the galleries. And it's easy to abide by social distancing and the other protocols that we've put into place.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you about, because one of the things that I have noted in your opening and many of the other museums that have opened, whether it be limited or in the manner that you've opened, it's just nice to be able to have some place to go and to see something after being locked up for a long time.
Right, and for the familiarity of coming and seeing artworks that, you know, have been meaningful to people for all of their lives, and to have that authentic experience once again, it is meaningful, and it is important for people to be able to get out and have these positive experiences.
It is. It's important. So let's just zoom out a little bit and talk about how you felt when you and all the other museums in this country and really around the world were closed, and what we lost in that of what kind of appreciation you gain for what you do.
I think that the digital experiences that were offered by Munson Williams and museums across the country were very important to keep people engaged. And I think that it demonstrates that during the pandemic and during the closures that we have all experienced, that people still turned to art, to the arts, whether it be fine arts or music or performing arts, and how essential that was to all of us while we were in our homes, that people were still watching the Metropolitan Opera, that people were experiencing the digital programs that museums offered. And it demonstrates that the arts are central to our quality of lives all of the time and are central to us as beings. So I think that, you know, those are, again, some of the positives that you can look at it. From a very practical standpoint, from museums, speaking about art museums across the country, this has been really devastating. Many museums, unlike Munson Williams, the gate, the point of sale of tickets, of admissions, are crucial to their operating budgets. We are very fortunate in that, except for special exhibitions, our founders set us up to be free to the public, and
right.
We've been able to maintain that. But for other institutions across the country, this has been devastating. And many, as you know, our sister organizations in New York City are still not open. So there are many challenges that lay ahead for museums across the country. And there's some statistics from the American Alliance of Museums about the percentage of small museums that are worried about whether or not they'll reopen their doors. So I guess, you know, it's for all of the arts, it's a call for people to continue to support what is important to them.
So let me ask, I guess, a somewhat obvious question, but what can folks listening and all of us do to help support institutions like yours and protect the arts institutions that are in our region?
I could get on a whole campaign pledge.
Yeah.
but, you know, visiting, supporting, becoming members, giving to annual funds, remembering your arts organizations in your state plan, I mean, all of that is really essential, because arts organizations, I mean, art museums, I can speak in particular, do so much for their communities that I think people aren't aware of. And I'm going to highlight one Munson Williams program this summer. So we're working with Hope Chapel AME Zion Church and the Utica School District this summer, so that there's a free lunch program operated out of the parking lot at Munson Williams. The lunches come from the Utica School District. The program got organized by Hope Chapel, and Munson Williams twice a week provides takeaway art kits for the kids who come for the free lunch program. So I think when people think of art museums, they don't think of those types of community outreach that museums do and how important those school tours are for regional or even or inner city kids to have those authentic experiences with art.
We're out of time, but I want to give people the...
So get off my soapbox then.
Well, that's okay. No, I want people to go on your website and see what they can do to help.
Thank you, Joe.
WPAI.org is the address. Anna D'Ambrosio, thank you very much. Always a pleasure to have you on the program.
Oh, good, Joe. Look forward to seeing you sometime soon.
Be well.